I want to know what the reaction to your bill about YouTube and the response to the New York Times article has been since you announced it a week ago.
Well, we've gotten tremendous response from parents in particular who say that, you know, they can't believe that YouTube is effectively recommending videos to pedophiles and has the ability not to do that. I mean, YouTube's been clear, Google's been clear, that the algorithm, their algorithm is sophisticated enough that they don't have to recommend these videos. They can take these videos out of the stream, but they don't want to do so because of profits. And I think parents hear that, you know, and I've got two little boys at home, and parents hear that stuff, and they're like, are you kidding me? So this would just say to YouTube, look, your algorithm allows you, already gives you the power to take these videos featuring minors out of the auto recommendation. You should do that. Protect children.
This is a very granular question, but I know that YouTube has an app called YouTube Kids that I'm sure that a lot of children that are our kids' age watch. Is that what is kind of holding them back, that sort of service would not really be achievable anymore under your bill? Or is that not something that you've heard from talking with maybe representatives from YouTube or people that don't want this bill?
That's not the objection that they have raised. I mean, the objection that they've raised in public and why they said that they wouldn't voluntarily take these videos out of their algorithm is that they say, well, it'll harm profits, and that, you know, some folks actually make money by posting these videos to YouTube or other website hosting services, and they said, well, we don't want to hurt those who post the videos, these influencers and so forth. I think that's a pretty thin reed on which to rely here. When we have seen this reporting, we've seen the facts. These are pedophiles who are getting the identity of children because YouTube is giving the videos to them, placing them into their feed, into their stream, and that just needs to stop.
This is kind of a more philosophical question. I know you're not a psychologist, but has Congress considered looking at research about kind of the addictiveness of social media like YouTube, and especially when we're talking about this particular issue from reading the New York Times article, the real issue is just because of the way YouTube is structured and the way that, you know, these videos of minors were getting to potential pedophiles, it almost seems like there's an addictive nature to it that may need like more scientific study that I don't think has been done. I know that's kind of a curveball question to it, but it seems like this is kind of one of the issues that was raised in the article. I'm interested to hear if there's been any interest in Congress pushing some of these tech companies on that particular line of questioning.
Well, that's certainly an interest of mine, and I have referred to what these tech companies have given us, and particularly these social media platforms, as the addiction economy. And my concern is that they are engaging in deliberately addictive and exploitative practices, whether that's the way the social media platforms are structured, Facebook with its infinite scroll, for instance, that they put into the Facebook page and user interface, whether it's loot boxes that video game companies insert into their games. These are addictive, exploitative practices deliberately designed to try and get people, including children, to spend enormous amounts of time on the platform and also to spend money. And this, I think, is deeply disturbing and something that we ought to take a look at. And I think that there is bipartisan interest in doing that. The social science that you reference, I mean, we're seeing more and more studies. The Journal of Pediatrics recently had a study showing an alarming correlation between social media use and depression and suicide in teenagers, especially teenage girls. Jonathan Haidt, the well-known social scientist, has done work in this area and is continuing to do so. So we need more research. We need more science on this issue, and we need to hold these companies accountable.
The House is controlled by Democrats, and the Speaker of the House is from California, and the tech industry is based in California. Do you have any fears that even if this gets through the Senate, it's just going to run into a dead end in the House because Democrats control the House, and there's probably a lot of, you know, pressure from legislators who represent states with large presence of the tech industry not to do something like this? What's kind of your read on that aspect of the trajectory of your bill?
Well, there's no doubt that the tech companies are incredibly powerful and that they have incredibly powerful lobbies, and they spend enormous amounts of money and enormous amounts of time trying to sway congressmen and representative senators. So there's no doubt about that, and they are an incredibly powerful entrenched interest. But I'll say this, Jason. I mean, the bipartisan interest in this has been tremendous, and do not track what you mentioned. I mean, my co-sponsor is Senator Dianne Feinstein from the state of California. I mean, that sends a pretty powerful message, I think, that this is not only a bipartisan interest and effort, but also that she represents, obviously, these tech companies as well, in the sense that they're based, many of them, in her state. And she's recognized that this is a huge problem and that we need to do something about it, protecting consumers' privacy and children's privacy. So I think the tech companies are really running out of friends. I mean, those who are willing to take a stand and to say, what are you doing to children? What are you doing to our privacy? What are you doing with our information? And then, of course, what are you doing in terms of censorship? I mean, there are a lot of tough questions here that need to get asked.
My final question for you is kind of a similar line to the last question. What has Republican Senate leadership that controls the flow of legislation in the Senate, how open are they to taking up not only this bill, but bills by other people who kind of share your skepticism of big technology companies? Because I don't follow like Washington, D.C. politics as closely as Missouri politics, but I haven't heard people like Mitch McConnell or even Roy Blunt talk about this issue very much. What has been their reaction to what you've proposed?
You know, I think it remains to be seen what if we will get legislation that protects people's privacy and that protects children, if that will actually be brought to the floor. I'm very hopeful. I've had talks with some of the leaders of the relevant committees that this has to move through. There's a process, as you know, and I think there's quite a lot of interest. And I think the bipartisan nature, you know, I've introduced now several major bills on this, the Child's Privacy Bill, the Do Not Track Bill, the Anti-Loot Box Bill. All of those have bipartisan support, and I think that has turned a lot of heads, that this has really been a bipartisan effort, and I think there's a lot of momentum there. Now, I hope that leadership in both parties will want to come together and actually get something tangibly done that will protect the privacy of every single Missourian and every American, and will especially protect children.